the intoxicating rhythm of the samba, the talented miss serves up a musical cocktail with a true Latin American flavor. So if free, boisterous birds of a feather fall under the influence of this torrid tropical tempo, don't blame them. Blame it on the rhythm of the samba.
If your spirits have hit a new low, and they long to hit a new high, one little musical cocktail will lift them to the sky. Mix a jigger of rhythm with a strain of a few guitars, and a dash of the samba and a few melodious bars.
Fascinating rhythm of the samba. And if guitars are strumming, cha-cha-cha-cha-cha, birds are humming, cha-cha-cha-cha-cha, drums are drumming, choo-choo-choo-choo, then you can blame it on the rhythm of the samba. For there is something about the beat you cling to, not the type of song you sing to, but the kind of thing you swing to, when you get to bouncing with the beat in your feet. For when you bounce to the beat, you're reeling with the karaoke feeling. If you want to hit the ceiling, here is all you have to do. You take a small capasta, one pandero, take a wicker. You've got the fascinating rhythm of the samba.
Go to baka laka gara dico baka chichi. Mi compañero avocado and the gator papa. A pika paka casa blanca, it's a quick choo choo. And then you really got the daughter who is summer.
This year, the Hammond organ is celebrating its 70th birthday. Like any septuagenarian, it's had its ups and downs over the years, but the unmistakable sound, product of a great mass of whirring motors, wires and bits of metal, has featured on numerous classic records since the very beginnings of pop music. For the Culture Show, Greg Borrowman, Hammond enthusiast and Hammond player, has a special birthday tribute.
Meet the Hammond organ. No, seriously, meet the Hammond organ. And meet it again. And again. And again. The Hammond organ is celebrating its 70th birthday this year. I want to tell you how, without these beasts, the 20th century wouldn't have sounded anything like it did.
It's just a load of whirling wires and bits of metal, and for some reason it just does have an excitement in its sound.
If you go on stage and you've got a Hammond organ there, it makes you perform.
Sitting at it, I mean, you look at it behind me, and it's just like it's a beautiful piece of work. It isn't just a machine that makes a sound, because you sit it and you feel sort of majestic almost.
The other organs are rubbish, absolute rubbish compared to it, and it's because the instrument has got this bigness of sound.
Lawrence Hammond, the clue's in the name. He was primarily a clockmaker, but he was forever down the patent office because he was an inventor too. This is his self-dealing bridge table, and here he is with his first 3D film viewing specs. And while he was looking for other uses for his synchronous clock motor, he came up with the best electric organ in the world. Hammond saw his product as a cheaper alternative to the pipe organ and sold it to churches and polite middle-class homes across the states. But what the inventor envisaged and what actually happened are two very different things. Bats Waller and Wild Bill Davis took the Hammond out of the church almost as soon as it went in, introducing it to rhythm and blues and jazz. But few would dispute who was king of jazz organ. This is Jimmy Smith. He's the modern player's inspiration. Smith arrived on the scene in the 50s at the same time as a new Hammond model, the harder-edged B3.
Jimmy Smith definitely broke new ground for the instrument in popular culture. He pushed the boundaries of what people thought could be done on the organ with his technique, an amazing player of great fluidity and virtuosity, to the point where you just think that it's two people playing.
Listen to a legendary gospel singer like Mahalia Jackson, and you hear the Hammond cross a line, providing a soulful soundtrack to the civil rights movement. Miss Jackson sang to the marchers in Washington in 1963, just before Martin Luther King told the world he had a dream.
Having this sound of the B3 organ in her music, in some ways brought a purity of expression to the masses, where they were getting an insight into what actually goes on in the black community. When you hear the sound of the Hammond B3, it is a kind of call to action.
Every player approaches the Hammond differently. It's a totally personal thing. Just turning it on is a bit of a ritual.
The starter motor takes a while to get up to speed. The second switch engages the tone generator, containing 96 electrically charged tone wheels or spinning discs. They produce the heart of the Hammond sound.
Now you're ready to select your drawbar settings.
What it allows you to do is accentuate and manipulate different harmonics within the sound. And this means you can create literally hundreds of thousands of different permutations.
These things, Leslie speakers, are synonymous with the Hammond. They actually rotate inside, which is what gives you that incredible enveloping sound. Originally, Mr. Hammond didn't want anything to do with Don Leslie's invention because he designed a speaker system of his own. Hammond even discouraged his dealers from selling Leslie speakers. Years later, though, they officially joined forces. You just can't have one without the other.
Now get some of this. The 60s were the golden age of the Hammond in British pop.
I was attracted to the idea of playing Hammond organ because when you were a keyboard player in the early 60s, you had to deal with whatever piano was in the upstairs room of whatever pub room you were playing in, and there were some pretty nasty specimens.
Steve Winwood listened to all the great Hammond players and came up with a classic of his own, Gimme Some Lovin'.
They generally started out of a jam, and that did too. It started with the bass line, you know. And then the, where are you? It contains elements of gospel and jazz, really, combined into rock and roll, but it's derivative of lots of those kinds of music that the Hammond organ featured in.
This Sussex lad had a whole different idea of what a Hammond could do. Keith Emerson beat his Hammond up, first in the nice, and later in the 70s, cue even more organ abuse with prog rockers Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
I do actually play Hammond organs. I don't just beat the crap out of them. I do all sorts of things. You know, stick a screwdriver in the keyboard and let the note keep playing. And we had a roadie at the time, Lemmy, who's the lead singer of Motorhead. And he said, no, don't do that. Use a knife. And he gave me a youth dagger. And he said, if you're going to use a knife, use a real one. So, thank you, Lemmy.
Sadly, at the cheesier end of music, the Hammond was getting a seriously bad name for itself in Britain's ice rinks and bingo halls. In the excitement of the computer age, organs just didn't feel sexy. Synthesizers were all the rage. No one wanted a Hammond anymore.
You really didn't hear it. When I started playing the instrument, which was when I started gigging the instrument, which was 1980, 81, you really didn't hear the instrument anywhere. And I was laughed at all the time for turning up with this, and they're saying, you know, you could have got a DX7, mate. What, you know? And but now you hear it all the time.
Like goosebumps or sort of like, you know, your stomach jumps a little bit because I remember playing it on our album things and I had the headphones on, so I could hear the rest of the track. and I was playing these really low notes, and my whole body was shaking from the Leslie, which was sat next to me, as opposed to coming through the headphones, and it's that kind of power in the sound that makes it, makes you feel good. Sitting at a digital keyboard, it's kind of, it feels a bit stale, a bit stagnant. Even if it's new, you feel like it's all rules, and you press a button and, what do you want it to sound like? You want something like this. Whereas at the Hammond, you kind of rely on your ear, you're moving the drawbars, and then you suddenly go, that's the sound.
Seventy glorious years on, and the Hammond is alive and well. There's just no substitute for the real thing.
That was super, Miss Smith. Now let's really get hot.
Yeah!
Let's go below the border for some South American jive. Okay, kiddies. I mean, very well, ladies. But everyone will have to help.
Okay, Lily,
we're with you.
Will play a popular dance melody that he recently recorded for Capitol Records because you asked for it.
Thank you.